Hi, everybody. And a very happy hump day to you. Welcome in to the Wednesday, October 18th edition of The Lowdown. That is Jason the Troll Ross.
Yay.
I am Damian Barling. We thank you again so much for being here, wherever you may be, wherever in the country you may be listening. If you're listening on the radio.com app, on KHDK.com, if you're listening on Sports 1140, we greatly appreciate it. We know fans here in the region are incredibly excited as tonight marks the beginning of another season for your Sacramento Kings. And right now, we're tied for second.
Yeah.
Right behind Houston, but we're ahead of the Golden State Warriors.
So. Leading the Pacific Division, right?
Fact.
Yep.
That is fact. That is factually accurate.
Half game up.
Love it.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. So we got the Kings and the Rockets, who we got a good look at last night. Well, you know, I don't know if we got a good look at them. First of all, one game in, I'm comfortable in saying I was wrong. Because I really wasn't sure how I felt about the Rockets until watching their last preseason game. You've been high on that. I don't know why. I just felt like they had given up more to get Chris Paul. And they did. They gave up Patrick Beverley. You know, they gave up, you know,
some depth.
Important players.
Mm-hmm.
But that first seven, six is really good. And Chris Paul was not good last night. And that's the only sadness for me heading into tonight's game, is there's actually a question mark as to whether Chris Paul will play. We'll get into that. Obviously, we will talk a ton about the Kings. We'll talk about the Rockets and Warriors last night. We will start. Man, it just so the videos and the crowd reactions to Kyrie Irving, did LeBron and Kyrie, did they bump fists before the game? And, you know, you're 5 minutes in and Gordon Hayward goes down with one of those injuries that you just can't watch. You know, and unfortunately, you start thinking, you're old school. You remember Theismann, is it Kevin Ware from Louisville a couple years ago?
Yeah.
You remember that one. I wasn't looking at the TV when the Kevin Ware. I was watching the game, but I wasn't looking at the TV. I was watching the TV when this one happened, and Kevin Harlan caught it quick.
He sure did.
He caught it. He was like, oh, Gordon Hayward broke his leg.
Like that quickly.
And that was before the camera saw it. And, oh, man, that was just one of those things that was brutal to watch. And, you have no – and I was thinking about this morning, Jason. There's – you know, we talked about – sadly, we talked about this yesterday. We saw J.J. Watt get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the reaction from people in Houston, which I feel is – I don't feel like that's a reaction to an athlete. I feel like that was a reaction to the – person,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's your home city. There's something
Boy, he's
there.
Been so good for that community.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, we see guys get hurt. You know, the odds, if you sit down and watch basketball for a week or you sit down and watch the Red Zone for an entire Sunday, you're going to see injuries. But there's something about when the question is taking at it. Like, you see J.J. Watt, he's hobbled, he's hurt, he's not moving well. You see Aaron Rodgers kind of tucking his shoulder. You feel like the person is hurt. You feel like the athlete is hurt. But you're still waiting for the MRI. You're still waiting for the official diagnosis.
Yeah.
When you see someone's ankle or leg or, you know, when you see a bone completely, when you see something like that and all question about what happened is taken out of it, like, you can't see a torn ACL. You can't see a torn MCL, but you can see broken bones and you can see compound fractures. And when you see that, it causes an entirely different reaction. And, you know, going to social media immediately after the Gordon Hayward injury, you know, I actually had Twitter up when it happened, and just watching, you know, the post from, you know, listeners of the show, friends of the show, guests of the show, athletes from around the country, just pouring in one after the other after the other. There's something different about knowing an athlete just got hurt really, really bad. And I think when the question is taken out of it and you're not waiting for the MRI and you're not waiting for the PR people to come through, you stop thinking about the athlete. And that's what it felt like last night. A lot of people, with the exception of Skip Bayless, stopped thinking about the athlete and started thinking, well, this sucks. This guy had a difficult decision to make this summer. He was a key acquisition to an organization that was expected to be great. And here we are, 5 minutes into the season. All of that work he put in from June to October, gone.
Yeah, I think it's the totality of all of that. You make a great point because you're right. We can see people that might tear an ACL or an Achilles. You know, they have that, and then they might even walk right away or get up.
Right.
You're like, okay.
Kobe popped his Achilles.
Bad. Yeah, shot a free throw, and then he knew something was up, but it's like, he'll be back.
And he knew.
Yeah.
Like, in most people, I think if you watched, you knew. But, you're right.
But this, you know, you don't see this all the time. Thankfully, we don't. You don't want to see it. And you're right. I think the way, like, I felt for the fans more so of Aaron Rodgers' injury. I mean, I'm not tied to any of these guys. You don't want anybody to get hurt. But I went, Aaron Rodgers will be back. Like, immediately when Gordon Hayward's happened, it doesn't, not when will he be back? Like, will he be back? Now, he could. He could be fine. Not fine, you know what I mean? But, like, return and have a career. He also may not.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's and I don't know why the totality of what I'm saying, too, is first 5 minutes. I mean, this still would have been bad if it was in January and they played 2 months and you had a look at Boston. But it was just the opening night. Everybody's excited. Just all the storylines that were in the game. And then you just went, does any of that matter?
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, it was still a very entertaining game. Thought Boston was great in their comeback. It was strange that Kyrie has the final shot. All these things, but you're like, okay, but I can't stop thinking about this.
And the game ending the way that it did with Kyrie. I mean, how fitting is it? Kyrie gets the last shot to tie the game, shooting over LeBron. He misses.
Then the high fives.
They have the moment at the end, and you know, like. And by the way, though, I think the older you are, the more you hated it. The more you hated the elaborate handshakes, which I loved.
Yeah.
But I was listening. Guys, I love Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick hated it. And I felt like when I would hear older people talk, like they hated the elaborate handshakes. They hated the dap that they're showing on the TV in front of us with LeBron and Kyrie. And it's, I loved all of that. And I thought that was the moment where I was like, okay. That now we're headed into the ring ceremony. We're headed into the next game. But I couldn't get past the Gordon Hayward thing.
Absolutely.
Like,
I
that legit brought tears to my eyes just watching that. Because, like, you've been to thousands and thousands of basketball games. When you see things like that, even though you maybe have not have seen, and I certainly haven't seen an injury like that in person, you think back to seeing athletes that you know and have relationships with when they got hurt and what their reactions were when the cameras, you know, weren't on them and when they were in the locker room by themselves. And you start seeing tweets that, Isaiah Thomas left the bench and went to go see Gordon Hayward in the locker room as he was a big part of the recruiting to get him to Boston. You see that on the first, when he gets taken out of the game, LeBron James goes back to the locker room to see Gordon Hayward. And you see J.J. Watt tweeting about it. You're seeing football players, hey, don't worry, this happened to me in week one.
Paul George.
Of course, and that was the first one I wanted to see because that was another injury that I didn't see until the next day. I wasn't watching that scrimmage when Paul George broke his leg. But I was watching Anderson Silva when Anderson Silva brought in that. Oh, gosh, that was bad. And when you see it, you never forget it. Like, you never forget seeing those moments. And it sucks that's the way the season started. And that's going to be the, you know, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the news cycle is quick. And, there's a full slate of games tonight, particularly, you know, obviously the one with the Sacramento Kings. There's a lot of other marquee games. You know, the Spurs and Timberwolves play tonight. The 76ers and the Wizards play tonight. There's a lot of marquee matchups tonight. So this will fall back a little bit. But, man, if you watched it and you had your eyes on the TV when that happened, you're not going to forget it anytime soon.
No, and it's just, the one thing I was thinking about it, too, I don't know that this is universally what happens. But I'm glad what appeared that he went into a little bit of shock because it's such a gruesome injury that, every one of us thinks, gosh, that's got to be incredibly painful. I mean, if you just go forget what he's thinking about this season, the money, all the stuff he signed and what he signed up for, is there pain? And it just looks like there's shock / frustration, not like he's not yelling. There's other people that are – I mean, it's just – it's a weird – it was just kind of surreal, the whole thing.
There's a very delayed reaction to it. And if you ever – one thing that I noticed with the – it was actually Cleveland staff that got out there right away. When things like that happen, and I've seen this before, and in Louisville – it was Louisville. Louisville did a great job of doing this also, is they cover it up.
Yeah.
They put a towel on it, right, or they shield it, they so the person bad. Can't see it.
And others.
Right. Well, but others. I mean, you watch the reaction from the Cleveland bench. And we say that all the time. Athletes know.
Yeah.
And when you see, I mean, Jay Crowder's reaction to Gordon was just like, oh, that. And then you see Dwayne Wade down on a knee. You see Bron. And then you know, the totality of what's happening. But, you know, I think there's a certain, okay, you don't see this or you're gonna freak out. And mm-hmm. we can't have you freak out because, as strange as it sounds, it could cause more damage. I remember when Kara's shoulder popped out. I can't remember if I don't think it was here. It was in Connecticut. Her shoulder popped out and she freaked out. And this had happened once before when she was in Sacramento. And I remember, like, she literally fell right in front of me and she screamed. And it was like, remember, you have to calm down, because if you calm down, it could fall back into place. And so she stopped screaming and her shoulders drop and it slips back into place. Mm. And I've heard doctors say before, if you tighten up because you see something,
you're restricting, you could rip everything.
Yeah, yeah, you could just tear something up. And you know, the doctors did a great job. You know, the producers and everyone who had that, they did a good job of getting the camera off it. I think that at first, I feel like Kevin Harlan caught it so quick, the camera should have never gone as close as it did. But I think there's a certain, like, why is he saying so adamantly that he broke his leg? He was obviously,
he had an angle. He could see it.
Right. There's a, you know, this would be a question for Grant. Maybe he said this yesterday. Whether guys are looking at monitors or looking at the at the actual
both,
court.
Right.
Kevin Harlan was very obviously looking at the court at that time, when that happened. So it took a while to get over that. But, once you did, or once they did, or once we did, or whether you didn't, we got a pretty damn good game out of we actually got two really, really good games last night. It was just a really difficult start. I mean, 5 minutes in, it's hard. It sucks that, you know, now we're going to go in and talk about the basketball aspect of it. And now, you know, Bobby Marks, you know, who's been a guest on this show many times, your buddy there, he tweet, hey, my apologies in advance, but this is my job and I have to now write about the cap implications of Gordon Hayward's injury. So I apologize. Hang on.
Yeah.
And then he wrote the art, you know, he wrote the article and tweeted it. And like, that's kind of the insensitive nature of what we do for a living. As I mentioned, Skip Bayless was destroyed by virtually every single professional athlete on the face of the planet yesterday, and most people on Twitter for his just senseless, you know, tweet regarding Gordon Hayward's injury and taking a shot at LeBron James. And you know, most people with an ounce of common sense are willing to step back for a second and look at the human side of this before we realize, Skip, you're no different than us. What you do is useless. You are not making a difference in the world. And we acknowledged that yesterday. Like, we're talking sports. We're talking games. We do this stuff for fun. Like, so now we have to make the transition back into, you know, talking about the games and what turned out to be, you know, with the exception of that, you know, incident, of a really fun night of opening night basketball.
Yeah, and I actually was really impressed with Boston after that, because right away, shock for everyone. They kind of got run out of there because Cleveland – it's a good team, obviously, and Boston, I felt like, was in a little bit of disarray. But for them to regroup on the road like that and come back and really have a good chance to win the game, I was impressed. What one area that I didn't know if Boston could be good, really a threat long term, was the amount of young guys they're going to count on. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Well, they counted on them yesterday, and they were fantastic. Can they do that all season? That's a big question. But I just thought, you know, watching them, they have a lot. There's a lot there. That's a good team. But it's just, man, you just think also, what if? What would it look like with Gordon Hayward? It would certainly help them a lot.
Well, now, you know, this the team is deep. You know, and the team is really good, and we're not going to – you can't even remotely minimize what Gordon Hayward would have meant to that team. But now you're not going to get the opportunity to find out, because this team, you know – but understand what I'm saying here. It happened in the first 5 minutes, so you never got to establish an identity with Gordon Hayward.
Sure.
If there's any positive to Gordon Hayward getting hurt in the time frame that he did, meaning the first 5 minutes of the season, now you can establish an identity without him, which when he gets back, whether that's later this year or it's next year, then you have to work him in, whether you have to work him in rather than trying to figure out how to work without him.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, you know, Jaylen Brown was really good. And it's worth pointing out Kyrie was good last night.
Yes, he was.
Kyrie was really good last night. He was more efficient last night in Cleveland than he was – or excuse me, he was more efficient last night for Boston than he was many times in Cleveland. He had double-digit assists. He played very well. You mentioned Jaylen Brown. That kid could be an absolute star. You know, they have a very good roster of players, and they have a great coach. Mm-hmm. And I mean great. I think Brad Stevens is a great coach. You know, the game was competitive. It was fun. But I think they're going to be just fine in the long run. I don't know if just fine means they'll still finish second like a lot of people will. I thought they might finish third before the Gordon Hayward injury, but I think those one, two, you know, three, and maybe even Toronto, I'm not really sure, but maybe those top four places are going to be really, really close.
Yeah, I think they have to be happy with how those two, speaking of Tatum and Brown, played. But now you're asking, it's a big ask now, because now they are going to continue to start. They're going to be asked to do more. You probably move a guy like Marcus Smart into the rotation, and then all your real strength is your starting five. It is thinner off, you know, it just moved one key piece away. So, but showed character, showed heart. They're actually right back at it tonight. They also have a back-to-back. They're at home. I think they get Milwaukee, I think it is. So,
yeah, they're opening. If you're a Boston fan, you never saw the Gordon Hayward era. If you're
right.
a fan in Boston, you never saw that. A couple of texts here, and we'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. By the way, 44-11-40. That's the text line in front of us. Cider Pete, did you guys see Kobe's post on Instagram to Gordon Hayward? Yeah, I saw that. Kobe's like the ultra motivator now that he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending get well messages. He's sending motivational messages to everybody out there. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 if you want to jump in on the phone lines. A couple of people have asked about the call here on the text line. This is Sean Grandy. This is the radio call from yesterday, and he was on top of things pretty quick as well. And that's the Boston Celtics radio network there.
Cedric Maxwell knew.
He caught it, yeah. Player, right?
Yeah.
Former player. You mentioned how well Boston got themselves together after the injury. Cleveland was a little bit more of a – they weren't a mess. They just – I don't feel like they were as fluid as Boston was. Newsflash, and I know this is going to shock everybody. LeBron was really good again.
Even though he said he was out of shape, not sharp, all the things that he says. But, last night was a great win, and he was great. Don't they want to get to a spot where they don't have to get that every night from him? Just to win? Just to hang on to win?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. And that's where Jay Crowder is going to have to be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Crowder shot the ball 10 times. I think he's going to have to shoot more. Kevin Love didn't even shoot double digits last night. LeBron shot 19. The closest one after that was Derrick Rose, who shot 14. And Derrick Rose had a really good first half
shooting.
Yeah, I was
going to say, at times I was like, man, he's looking good.
Yeah, he was really, really good in the first half.
Yeah.
His shooting fell off significantly in the second half, but LeBron is still the point forward of the team, and I don't know, like that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Rose has to learn to facilitate the ball better.
Yeah, but also
we're
a ways away from this, but when Isaiah's there,
yeah,
how good are they going to be?
I'll co-sign what you said when the trade was done. I think they're closer to the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
And significantly closer to the Warriors.
Yeah.
And of course, now, you know, the Warriors might as well blow it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
fire
they
the
lost
coach,
last
trade
night.
All the
it's
stars.
It's over.
Actually, for a lot of the game, they looked really good.
They looked incredible.
Swaggy P just sitting there. I'll sit right here. You won't guard me, and I will make everything.
And that's the difference. Like, that, I hated Nick Young as the focal point of the Los Angeles
Lakers.
Yeah,
as a volume shooter.
I thought it was absurd. Yeah. But I watched him, and I think everybody watched him thinking, well, he could be a valuable piece somewhere if he's like the third guy or the fourth guy. I don't even think – he's not even that. He's like the seventh guy.
Right, but that's perfect.
But it works.
Yeah.
It works there for him.
And I think he can have nights like last night. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen all the time and whether they need that all the time. But as good as they were for a lot of the game – how about the Rockets from coming down 17? They go small, kind of play the Warriors' way. The guys that we said would make them tougher, Tucker and Bamute made everything. Gordon kept going to the basket, and they just kind of kept chipping away. And I feel like they have built their team to attack the Warriors. And they are, you know, when they went small, and it was a huge boost when Draymond went out, but they were able to handle it, and it was pretty amazing comeback.
35 points in the first quarter, 36 in the second, 30 in the third for the Warriors, 20 in the fourth, outscored 34-20 there in the final quarter of the game yesterday. Ahmad, thank you so much for calling in, man. What's going on? Hang on, Ahmad. We got in there. What's up, buddy? Thanks for calling, Ahmad. We appreciate it.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to talk about the Gordon Hayward injury. I know you guys started talking about the game that came after. Did you guys happen to hear Kyrie's post-game press conference or no?
I didn't.
I didn't hear his press conference. I heard his media scrum. I didn't hear.
Sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I did hear that. Sure.
Yeah. What a dumb question to ask. Like, the one reporter asked, like, were you shocked? Like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
That's such a great question to ask. Like,
I know.
No, I don't think Kyrie was shocked at all by the injury.
Yeah, I know, man.
Everyone in the building was shocked. Everyone in the world was shocked. Like, what kind of a question is that?
I know, bro. Like,
especially the timing of it. That's not a question you ask at that time.
Not a question you need to ask, period, because we all know the answer. Yeah, that's a big pet peeve of ours. We hate stupid questions.
I've asked them before.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But you're right. We have
to
do better.
I don't think we have
to do better as media.
I don't know. I didn't think that was good. Another point I wanted to make was I thought Jaylen Brown looked really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
The biggest thing for him is maybe outside shooting and then, you know, pull up jump shots and stuff. But him attacking the basket, I mean, he's fearless.
No, you're absolutely right. Ahmad, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the call. 25 points on 23 shots. Obviously, you want him to be a little bit more efficient than that. But I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll absolutely take it for one game in. Hey, Keith, what's up, man? Thanks for the call.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey, Keith.
First and foremost, prayers to Gordon Hayward. I didn't see it live, but I was listening to Grant and Doug yesterday, and they kind of said it as it happened, and my whole demeanor changed. But prayers to that guy. Good win for the Rockets last night. Like you said, Jason, we played our tough guys down the stretch, and they were hitting the corner three. So that's going to be huge. Guys who can actually defend, move their feet. Just one game, no big deal. I think the Warriors are still the better team. I do think Houston is the second-best team in the whole NBA. I'm saying that today. They were third last year in the whole NBA. But I got a question for you guys. If the Kings hit more than 18 threes tonight, and I'll be there tonight in person, can I come on the show and do a segment with you guys if they do 18 or more tonight, Jason?
If they make 18 or more threes?
Yes. Can I come on the show?
I'll say yes.
Segment with you guys and talk Rockets basketball.
Wait, but the Kings are making 18 or more?
No, the Rockets.
Oh, the Rockets are going to make 18. That's not even a bet.
I was like, wait.
Whoa, hold on. 18 or more? Come on now.
They're going to shoot more than 50. They shot a lower amount.
They shot 41 last night.
They're going to shoot 50 tonight.
Okay.
Keith, you're welcome in here anytime, buddy. How about that?
Are you guys – well, obviously, I'll be there tonight, man. I would love to come see you guys and kind of put a face to the name with you guys.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we'll get that done. Hang tight, Keith. We'll have Chris let you know exactly where we're going to be.
I thought he was talking about the Kings. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You can do a week.
Yeah. You can have my paycheck if the Kings hit 18 threes. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that game. And, you know, despite the injury, Jason Ross in a strangely good mood today. We'll explain as the lowdown continues. Lots to get to here today. The Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, already in midseason
form. The
fighting
Bulls.
the running of the Bulls. Haven't even played a game yet. We'll talk about them coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. The Cleveland Browns have named a new starting quarterback.
Wait, who else do they have?
Well, it's an old starting quarterback, but apparently he just needed a break.
Tim Couch?
Nope. No.
Not that old.
No, it's the same guy from earlier this year. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some football at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Actually, we'll have some football here this hour because the Dallas Cowboys continue to be a circus. Apparently, Zeke got another stay of execution because a judge is on vacation.
Oh, it's because he has Zeke on his team.
Dude, you got to be kidding. So the joke was Jerry bought some judge a vacation, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's how this worked.
Yeah.
He sent some judge somewhere on vacation. And now Zeke, not only is he going to play in Santa Clara against the 49ers on Sunday, he's going to play against Washington for sure as well. So
already
he's
confirmed?
In, already confirmed. He's
That's
in for the next
nice
2 weeks.
Vacation.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Why don't you come back in January?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So we'll get into that here. We'll talk football. I was going to mention one small thought on the American Football Conference, the AFC, including your Oakland Raiders. We will have that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Put a bow. You know, we probably should continue to talk more about the Rockets. We'll obviously talk a lot about them, as that's the Kings' opponent here tonight. They are in Sacramento to kick off the Kings' season. Newsflash: if you didn't watch, them boys good. Mm-hmm. They still really good. James Harden, really good. Chris Paul, I hope Chris Paul plays. I'm a Chris Paul fan. I want to watch them play. The one thing that I like about this, though, the Rockets, and I know it's a difficult matchup for the Kings, is sometimes when you get in these teams that when you play these teams that like to, you know, just kind of run up and down the floor, use very little of the shot clock, get long shots up, long shots. If they miss, they come off, they become long rebounds. Those can become fast break points. For the Kings tonight, mm-hmm. We could get a very high-scoring game tonight at the Golden 1 Center.
Could. I know the Kings had trouble scoring in the preseason, but again, preseason's really tough to evaluate, but you're right, that could lend itself to that, and you might have to be in there because, I mean, even an off-shooting night for Houston, they're still going to be putting up points.
D'Antoni played 8 guys yesterday.
Yeah.
Boy, that clip was running out. I wasn't sure he was going to get it in time.
I know, I was able to.
Good now. 2-2.
Yeah.
Game tonight, or not this tonight,
afternoon.
Coming up in a bit here.
Kind of for the series, I feel like it's a critical game for many ways because Keuchel has had the Yankees' number.
Mm-hmm.
As great as the 2-2 comeback is, it's awesome they're back in the series. Houston is a big advantage today. If they win, then two chances back at home. Certainly would favor Houston, but Yankees win. Serious momentum, and then two chances to try to beat, you know, Verlander, and then – Game 7 as well.
2-3-2 doesn't feel like a home field advantage to me.
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed that. I'm glad the NBA got rid of it.
The 2-2-1-1.
I never thought 2-3-2
was
a, I mean the fact that I mean they're on a roll.
Yeah.
Yankees are rolling. The bats are nice right now. We've 14 runs at Yankee Stadium this series.
Yeah, and yesterday it did look like they were dead. I mean, like they were in trouble. They weren't hitting. Actually, Sonny Gray pitched pretty well, and then he had the one bad inning. It's 4-0, bottom 7. They pieced together a couple. It actually started with the Judge home run, and then the bottom of the 8th was just bizarre. There were some miscues by Houston. Yankees ended up getting the lead, and then all of a sudden Chapman comes in, 1-2-3, and it's like, oh, well, it's over. All right, 2-2.
And that wasn't all that Aaron Judge did yesterday. Why can't we rise for a double?
Well, he got. It was like it wasn't high, and it was far, but it was a liner.
Yeah,
yeah. But when he hit it, I thought it was out. In fairness, too, but
so confused.
Yeah.
It is. He's caught and he's out.
Yeah.
Oh,
at second,
boy.
No. Pop up to second. Wait, what?
Oh, he's at the warning track. No, man, that's the infield.
Yeah,
he's fine. He's out. But, hey, 2-2, Cubs, not so much.
Yeah, they were trying to do what the Yankees did to kind of get back in the series, but, man.
No.
And it was funny because, when you win, it definitely feels different. I saw some of the quotes from the Dodgers, like, yeah, we're kind of back to the team that we're having fun when we were earlier in the year. And it's like, sure, you're winning all the time. And
yeah,
I don't know
fun.
What that gap was where all of a sudden they became bad. Like, they were legitimately bad. And now they're back to a team that looks like they could be the best team going.
Hashtag winning is fun.
Yep.
Thank you. Courtesy.
It's just in.
I apologize. Winning is fun. Thanks, Magic.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Well done. What type of insight would you expect from a Magic Johnson-owned team?
Yeah.
They're down 3-0. Can I call it? Can we call it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it has happened
I think it ends
before.
Tonight. I think it ends tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not the smartest baseball guy, but I do recall saying after game 2, Cubs are going to have to score some runs. I know that's hot. I know that's coming in. I know that
coming
is coming in,
hot. In.
Yep. But they still can't.
Yeah.
And that's amazing for a team that was able to get so hot during the final. It wasn't half season. It was about half season, maybe a little bit longer.
For the Cubs?
Yeah, for the Cubs. Like,
yeah,
because
they had the slow start. Yeah.
They did. They had a really slow start where it's like, okay, this isn't the follow-up you really wanted. to your first title in 200 years or whatever it was. And then, there it is. They got rolling. Okay, cool. All right, all is fine. They'll be here in the playoffs where it matters the most. This is they're not peaking. They're just playing consistent baseball. And now it's like, nah. And of course, when you lose, when you win and you're having fun, right? That's what the Dodgers say. Well, when you lose, your manager gets questioned.
Right.
And Joe Maddon is taking a beating going back to the game two decision to leave Hendricks out there.
Yeah.
So it, I
or
think.
Lackey,
it,
yeah.
Oh, Lackey. Lackey sorry. Yeah, two, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lackey.
But you're right, because they came in as probably one of the favorites because they'd won and they're young. Oh, this team is going to be relevant for a year, and they still will be, but it's just the way the season plays out. Well, maybe the Dodgers are better. Maybe the Indians are better. Maybe the Astros are better. A lot of teams had better seasons overall, but they thought maybe when they got to the postseason, and they just got through Washington.
But it's so difficult to judge, like, who's better.
Right.
Like, because Cleveland was fine, and then they go on this insane, you know, streak, and then they have that final 50 games where they're like 41-9 or something like that. Well, the Cubs were a little bit more consistent through their stretch, but they're still here. They're down 3-0, but they're still playing. Cleveland's not.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to figure out, well, Cleveland was better at this point. So-and-so was like, Chicago's still playing.
Right. And like right now, like starting pitching, I think, is a huge advantage to Houston over the Yankees. Yankees' bullpen is really good. Now the bats are hitting. It's kind of negated the advantage there. And the Yankee starters have outperformed what they were doing in the regular season.
We'll get to the debacle that is Ezekiel Elliott and that punishment. Think about this for the next few minutes. Is there a more improbable team in the position that the New York Yankees are right now? Because we've all agreed that the Yankees are the worst team left in the postseason. But they're playing fantastic. Especially at home. We'll talk about that and get into the NFL when we continue here with the lowdown. I keep wanting to say I'm all the way up, but I don't think this
sounds
is it.
Like is it?
I think I could freestyle. I'm all the way up.
Nothing can stop
me. I'm all the way up. Shout out Ken Rudolph.
Yep. Dancing in his chair.
Indeed he is. Hey, we got tickets to see your Sac State Hornets. Singers
up.
All the way up. They're taking on Northern Colorado on November 4th. You want some more information on that? Go to kck.com. You want to grab these tickets? You can do that right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We're so eager to jump into today's show and talk about basketball, talk about football, talk about all the good things and bad things that may be. I forgot to mention that Sam Amick is going to join us. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Sam Amick returns here to the Lowdown. At 2 o'clock today, our KHK NBA insider, he's been all over the place, was in China recently. I'm sure he was in Oakland last night for the ring ceremony. And he'll be with us tonight. Actually, he'll be with us today. He'll be with us at 2 o'clock. One small thought on the AFC coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, just about 13 minutes from now. A little bit of football news. Ezekiel Elliott, man, this dude's got 9 lives. He was granted another legal reprieve yesterday in his attempt to avoid a 6-game suspension. A federal judge granted a temporary restraining order. A federal judge granted another temporary restraining order blocking the league's suspension. Now, this happened because the presiding judge is on vacation. The NFL is a circus.
Yeah. There's only one judge that can make that call?
Apparently.
Okay.
So they're due to meet back up on October 30th, which is why Zeke is good to go and cleared to play for the 49ers and Washington the following week.
Yeah.
So this is week 7 we're into, week
already.
8.
Yeah.
So if the suspension gets upheld, we're talking about week 9. They better start winning some games.
Yeah.
And you certainly better knock off Washington because that's a division game.
Yes. To get back on track for them, for what they want to get to.
If the NFL is a circus, the Jerry, Roger, they're in the clown car.
Yeah.
And they're just piling out. And I think it's just 50 judges who come piling out. I'm overruling your suspension. Well, I'm overruling your ruling of that suspension where I'm giving him a temporary restraining order. Fantastic. Yeah. I'm overruling your temporary restraining order.
I'm like, going on vacation.
Is this really how court rule? Right. Yeah. Is this really how the legal system in the United States of America works?
Sadly.
I think I'm going to protest the legal system. Yeah. I'm going to take a knee during the national anthem to protest this legal system because this is absurd.
Yeah.
Is this really how it works? Like, if I get a parking ticket, can I just, like, I know I can appeal it.
Let's delay this for a while.
If the judge rules against me, can I appeal it to somebody else until somebody gives me the answer that I want?
Try it. See if that works for you.
I don't want, no. See, now I need to knock on something because.
How much will that cost?
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess when you make however many billions of dollars a year, you can afford to do nonsense like this.
Yeah. Get Jerry in your corner and you'll be fine.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? By the way, the NFL draft is headed to Dallas.
Yeah.
It's going to Dallas.
Hell on over.
It is going. The NFL.
Judge will be there front and center.
All rise.
Yes. Oh,
now that's funny.
Yeah.
That is very funny. Okay, look. I bring you to the draft. Yeah. I'll give you a season pass to everything that happens at AT&T Stadium.
You'll get to call out all our names. We'll have you pick all the Cowboys guys. I mean, we'll pick them, but you'll get to announce it. Yeah. Just push this thing back for a little bit.
Bring the guy from the Yankees in, too. All rise. Yeah. We'll just record it for you so the bailiff doesn't have to say it when you enter the court. It'll be your boy.
Mm-hmm.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. The NFL is frustrating. Like, I can understand why people are turned off by the NFL. The football is fun.
Mm-hmm. The actual games?
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like everything that surrounds football is really freaking annoying.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things. You go back to, we told you when this happened, this was going to make Deflategate look like mozzarella sticks. This is the full-on steak dinner because now you got Jerry Jones involved and you got all, we told you.
Yeah.
We told you it was going to make Deflategate look silly. And this charge is significantly more serious than deflating
Absolutely.
Football. And in the grand scheme of things, Deflategate.
Who cares?
When you
about
look
that?
Back at Deflategate, if you're not alive, right? Your kids' kids look back and they learn the history
and you have
of the
to explain
NFL.
This one,
and you have to explain how the guy who is as close to universal as you're probably going to get, considered the greatest quarterback of all time, has the most rings of any quarterback of all time. How he missed four games and drug out a court procedure for almost 2 years because he was accused of deflating footballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have to be explained.
Yeah. I would say, because I said so. Don't ask me why. Yeah. It's just the silliest. That was silly. This is you're right, far more egregious and more serious, but just getting delayed and to fit right in the narrative of what the Cowboys would want or the NFL might want, or just it's just silly.
Yeah, it is. And you start seeing things like, okay, this is really happening because a federal judge is on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry is either the luckiest SOB in the world or the smartest.
Yeah.
And he's a billionaire, so he's probably a good combination of both. But I just can't get over what a circus the NFL has become between this and anthem, Chris and I were sitting here watching Roger Goodell do his press conference from the fall meetings, and he's trying to, run down all of these different things, and you knew the second he went to the questions, every question was going to center on anthem protest. Every single question centered on anthem protest, and we're sitting here watching it. We, break for a minute. He goes somewhere. I go somewhere. We come back. Gee, they're still talking about this. Nothing else. Some sucker from Boston wanted to get on TV and ask something about Aaron Hernandez and CTE lawsuits. And Goodell looked at him like, no, that's a legal matter. We can't comment on ongoing litigation. So we're going to leave that. So Jerry Jones said he was going to make players stand for the national anthem. And then it's like, oh my gosh, football is fun. Everything else sucks.
I totally agree.
There is a good side to football. That's Chris Long. We'll talk about that later on today. Chris Long doing good with his bread. We'll have one small thought. We'll talk the AFC, including your Oakland Raiders, who are back at it. Man, what a fun week this is. We had the opening night, even though it was marred by the injury to Gordon Hayward. We had two really good basketball games. We got the Sacramento Kings opening up their season tonight at the Golden One Center. We got the Raiders in Oakland tomorrow against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we got more basketball on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kings get right back at him, and they're starting right away with 3 games in 4 nights to open up the season. But
we've spread the schedule out, though.
It's friendlier, right? As Houston plays a back-to-back tonight, Boston plays a back-to-back tonight. But that game tomorrow for the Raiders, oh, man, that is a big one for them. I mean, it is the get-right game, or it's maybe no point of no return, maybe.
I mean, you follow that. Again, you go back to this past weekend, and you look at what Denver did. You got to feel comfortable in that, and you know, because they lost, and then you have Denver, and I think Denver and San Diego's this weekend, right?
Really,
north of San Diego, Denver and north of San Diego is this weekend. So someone's gonna lose.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you'll hold on to a minuscule of hope, but at some point you start looking at, okay, how many straight losses do we have now? Because this isn't clicking for us, man.
The margin of error just keeps decreasing each and every week. I mean, you start 2-0, okay, you can lose a game here, you can lose a game there. You didn't plan to lose 4 in a row. You certainly don't want to lose 5 in a row, and it's just, and then it's, what are they? Are they even any good? I mean, those things start to get creeped
There's
up.
A lot of quarterbacks that are playing better football than Derek Carr, including one that will shock you. We have that in one small thought. J. Ross and I will analyze the AFC as we continue here with hour number 2 of the Lowdown next.